Welcome to The Learning Curve with Roger and Virginia. The Learning Curve is about helping kids get good grades in school and succeeding in life. It's for all students, parents, and teachers, as all of life is a learning curve, and you succeed in life to the extent that you can learn easily. Today's show, we have the return of Dr. Robert Newman, the former dean at Marquette University. We'll be discussing learning as a process, and at college level, learning is an active process, not a passive process as it is in high school. This is important information for parents and students. To get more information on the materials we cover in our shows, you can go to howtolearneasily.com, or if you've got any questions, send them to Roger and Virginia by addressing your email to questions@howtolearneasily.com. Welcome back, Dr. Newman. As you know, we're going to be discussing the subject of learning as a process. And as you know, we say on our website that all of life is a learning curve.
Precisely that. That's the way you sum it up, yes. So I also tell students that, again, emphasizing that learning takes time. Also that learning is a process. In my book, I show a little cartoon with a student sitting at a desk and with a funnel in his head with somebody pouring information into it. I tell students, of course, this isn't learning. Learning isn't pouring information into your head. You know, learning is processing the information so that information stays with you.
And you then can use it.
And you can use it, and you can relate it to the other things that you learn. I also emphasize communication skills, not only reading and writing, but talking and speaking. Talking and listening. And I particularly emphasize talking and listening because I think, in terms of communication skills, those are the ones that students have the most deficiency.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes. I think they talk a lot, but they don't communicate very well.
Well, that's true. I was noticing, Dr. Bob, on your website, these more tips about studying. For example, the first one mentioned here is studying is coming prepared for every class. That's an interesting key point. In other words, you really just don't arrive expecting somebody to sort of switch your brain on and do it for you. Well, what's the key to the preparation here that you've observed?
I give them this idea. I say learning comes in layers. I tell them every day, wherever you go, you're learning something new. You know, walk into a store, you're learning something new about what that store sells. That's short-term learning, or it's shallow learning. If you're going to do academic learning, if you're going to do the kind of learning that an educational program requires of you, you have to do it in layers. And so, given any subject that you may be taking, you should be reviewing the material that's going to be covered in class the next day. Already you have some familiarity. That's the first layer. Then you go to the class the next day, and the teacher is going to present it further and present it in a wider way. And while you're in that class, what are you doing? You should be taking notes, and you should be contributing to class discussion. Then, after class, you go home, you do the homework that the teacher tells you to do, but you also do further studying, and that further studying includes, for example, rewriting those class notes. That also means rereading the material in your textbook. You've got a lot of information that you have to learn depending upon the subject. It's math, you do your math problems. You know, if it's biology, you make your lists of all of these biology terms. That's what I mean by learning occurs in layers.
Now, I actually have two comments, and one is what you were just describing there is very interesting because that actually speaks to a learning style that some students have where they really need to have the physical presence of something to learn from it, and it can be as easy, as you said, of rewriting your notes, of actually physically writing your notes and putting them down on paper gives you that physical presence of what you just learned.
Precisely.
Now, the other question I have for you, I think I remember seeing something on your website about recommending that students develop a relationship with their teachers. Now, I don't mean dating their teacher. What I think you mean
is... There's a modern young lady speaking for you.
Yes.
I think you mean something such as getting to know the teacher, asking the teacher questions, things like that. Why do you recommend that?
Two reasons. First of all, in the classroom, if the class is going to be effective, there is a relationship between students and teacher. The communication is there. Teacher is a good communicator, students are good listeners, and the students contribute to class discussion, ask questions, do what you should do in a classroom. But it seems to me that classrooms frequently aren't enough for some students. They always have questions that occur to them later, or that are questions that they really need to, that they should take to the teacher after class.
Yeah.
And if they form a good relationship with this teacher, you see, they're going to feel comfortable going to teacher after class, going to the teacher and ask questions without feeling like they're saying, I'm dumb, I don't understand this, please help me. You're developing this relationship so that when you do get behind in the course, or whether you really are coming up against, some intellectual difficulty with the course, then the teacher can give you some extra time. So I want students to understand that there's a formal relationship in the classroom, but it can be less formal outside the classroom, and students need to do both of that.
I'm just going over the rest of these tips about studying, which I find very interesting. I wish I'd had these in my youth.
I wish I had been trained for this, too.
Actually, the thing that struck me on your website, you actually have a page which says, why you need this book. It says here in the opening paragraph, you would never show up to a big game without practicing, without
right.
coaching, and without a game plan. It's
yes.
the same for college. College is a very big game and an expensive one for your family. You should know what to expect. And so your book actually, from what I'm seeing here, really addresses this in spades.
I hope so. I want to emphasize to everybody who reads it that learning is a process, and it is a complicated process. It's not impossible to learn, but it's going to take some effort to learn it. But they also need to know what it is that they're supposed to learn, in order to become good students. I frequently use metaphors, and one of my favorite is the one that you mentioned there, that they should think of their education like an athletic event.
Mm-hmm.
That when you consider what you do as a football player, basketball player, you not only have to know what the game is about, but you have to be in shape, to handle those competitions, those games that they have to play. And I use the same thing with regard to their brain. I said, your brain has to have the same kind of development for thinking, for being a good learner, that the athlete needs to in developing their body. Their whole body really has to be in good shape in order to be a good athlete.
So we've been talking about what students can do to prepare themselves or to be better learners and better college students. But what can parents do to help their high school students get ready?
The parents are a critical factor here, and it's a factor that I really think most people don't understand. If you think of what parents try to do in nurturing their younger children in grade school, the parents are pretty closer to their kids as they learn. And they'll do more things like, have you done your homework, and how did you do in class? And the communication there with younger kids is better. And of course, then as kids become teenagers, that communication becomes more difficult. And therefore, parents sort of stand back and say, well, I guess they're going to handle it on their own. They don't handle it on their own. If you've heard the term that's become current in the last 10 years or so, helicopter parent, and there are some parents who are always seem to be hovering over the student, but not in a positive way. Every time the student gets a low grade, on a test, the parent is there talking to the teacher, why is the student getting a low grade, you say? In fact, when we talk about general criticism of the educational system in this country. We're always talking about what the schools aren't doing. And sure, there are things that they should do better, but we don't talk about what the parents aren't doing.
Right.
You know, the parents aren't saying to the kids, you've got to sit down here and study. And you have to study without the TV on, without the stereo, without your cell phone, without the internet, and so forth. And I don't think parents are doing that. And so parents need to do at home are what traditionally parents should do. They're supposed to look out after their kids and their well-being. Well, that certainly is their education.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're afraid to, quote, stick their noses in their kids' education once they become teenagers, that's a really big mistake. I say it in various places and in articles that I've written. Teachers can do what teachers do in the classroom. Parents can't do anything in that regard. Likewise, at home, teachers can't make the students study. That's something that the parents have to do. They each have their particular role, and if they don't take those roles seriously, I mean, you know, again, that makes the education weaker and more fragile.
And the kid misses out. It's been frequently raised on our program here that students whose parents are involved with the students at all levels do better.
They do.
And one of the key points we're finding is, at a minimum, is that parents actually are very important on the point that they set standards of expectation that the kids then will measure up to and aspire
right.
to. If that point is missing, then the kids are rather like a guided missile without any guidance system.
That's exactly right.
They just will go anywhere.
And those expectations should not only be the expectation of high grades, but because we know grade inflation is so bad in high school, there should be a second expectation, and that is, how much do you study? Frequently, when I talk with parents, I say, you should actually set it's more important to set expectations for the number of hours that your kid studies and does homework,
mm-hmm.
because if they do that, their grades will follow. But if you just say, get high grades, well, students can get high grades without developing good studying and learning.
Or they can even hope for good grades and then miss.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Oh, here's an important point I noticed on your website, under the heading of Quick Facts. This really, folks, speaks to the importance of the book and the subject that we're discussing here with affectionately known as Dr. Bob, but Dr. Robert Newman. It says here that 90% of high school graduates plan to attend college, but 70% go within 2 years of graduation. But 40% of graduates said they were not adequately prepared for what awaited them. This is true when entering college or the workplace. You got some more information on that you can share with our listeners, because this is an important point for them to get a sense of the importance of your book and how it can help them avoid being part of the problem here.
And I realize this is in the mentality of teenagers, that they live on a day-by-day basis. Their lives are busier than teenagers have ever been busy because of all of the things that we mentioned earlier. So things have to be sorted out. And this is what needs to be conveyed at home and at school. Most important sorting out is, where are you going here? You don't accomplish things in the future unless you know what things you want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
You may not know what particular kind of profession or career you want in the future, but you do need to know that for any job, profession, or career, you're going to have to be a well-educated person.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand that your education is a process of development, so that when you do go out into the work world, into the adult world, for that matter, in terms of all of the personal responsibility you will have if you get married and have a family and so forth, your success in all of those things in the future depends upon your education. In fact, statistics will show us, for example, not only that students who don't have good education are not prepared for the workplace, they're not prepared just as human beings living their lives. They don't take good care of their health, they're not good family members, and so forth. So again, if we can open that larger picture up to students and say, this is where your education is taking you, and you have to see those things in the future to appreciate what you're doing right now on a day-by-day basis. As a matter of preparation for life, that's what your education is all about. I don't think students are hearing that. I don't think they're hearing that from their teachers, and I don't think they're hearing that from their parents.
Well, I think part of it is their parents were never taught how to do it, so they're not passing
it
on to their kids.
That's right, because, you know, young parents these days are still part of this shaky, fragile educational system, as I said, which goes back 30 or 40 years.
So on your website, I found something called a weekly activity map. How could a student go about using this?
I'm suggesting, in fact, I'm saying you really have to follow a schedule. Again, you can't live on a day-by-day basis, so you have to sit down. And I tell them, you know, there are two steps to, quote, getting your life together here. The first step is to fill out a weekly calendar, marking in, you know, every class that they take and so forth, but then outside of class, what things they do. Everything from extracurricular activities, sports, et cetera, to being with their friends, watching television, and so forth. Put it all down there. And then I say, now that you've got what you do now, tell me how many hours a week you're really studying. Of course, it's going to turn out to be, you know, a minuscule amount. And I say, okay, now you're going to become a serious student here. We're going to set up a new schedule for you. And it's going to begin with this idea that of all things that you're doing in your life here, the most important is your education. So that's going to be at the top of your list of priorities. And so we're going to put on this schedule sheet when it is that you're going to study. So the best time, you know, you can be studying during school, you know, during study hours and so forth. But I said we're talking about a period of time for studying, and that is between 7 and 11 o'clock at night. So draw in, this is your study time. And everybody is going to, in your home, is going to know about it. This is when you study, so everybody's going to be quiet and so forth. And you fill in that study time. Even if your homework doesn't take all that time, you're still going to study. You know, do those other things of rewriting your notes and reviewing your reading and so forth. And then all the other things can fall in outside of that time, you see. And so that's how I say, this is how you get your life together. You know, these kids are being told one time or another, will you get it together? Well, you know, getting it together means following a schedule. And if you're going to be a good student, that better be a very set schedule on a week-by-week basis. Certainly going to have to have it in college.
What if they happen to be a morning person like me? Would you advocate that they study in the mornings instead?
Well, they can, but you see, they're in school. See what I mean?
Quite honestly, now, I get up at 5 in the morning, and I don't...
Well, this is an interesting point, and let me mention it. Again, this comes from many recent studies, and it is that teenagers just don't function in the morning. Even if they go to bed at a regular time, which I say is before 12 o'clock, but even if they do that, students' brains don't turn on until about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's the American phenomenon. You know, when I was at this age, I used to be up at first light in the morning. I used to go down the swim pool and put in about 3 miles,
and then
get on with the serious work of the day.
I think you were in a very small percentage. You know, weren't you in a very small group of people who did that?
Oh, yeah. We're just a few of us, a competitive little bunch out there in Sydney, Australia.
Yes. Well, we're talking about the less competitive. We're talking about, and while I think all students could gain a lot from looking at my book, you know, in a sense, I'm really not that worried about the students who are in the top 5 and 10%.
Those students that
go to the best 50 colleges and universities in the country, you know, I'm pretty sure they're going to do. I'm worried about, you know, the other 75 and 80%, you know, of the students who go off to college.
Well, I see here in the contents of the book, the download samples in the book, under the introduction chapters, you've got here a question which I'd like you to answer, if you would, for our students and parents. The question is what kind of student are you really? What's the answer? What are the possibilities there?
Well, the possibilities, again, go back to what I said. If you think of yourself as a student, as a passive learner, mention again that cartoon I said, if you're a student who feels that learning should come to you, that if you go into a classroom and you hear what the teacher says, if you say to yourself, well, sometimes I get it and sometimes I don't, or if you say to yourself, well, I'm really not very good at math anyway, so, you know, I'm not going to put the effort in. Of course, that's a passive learner. The expectations of a passive learner are going to be destroyed very quickly as they move up the educational line. So I say you have to be an active learner. That is to say, the teacher is going to present the information there, and you have to go and get it. You have to go through all of these learning processes that I mentioned, you know, in order to master that information.
And truly acquire the knowledge that's there
and, truly
and be able to apply it.
You put it very succinctly and very well.
It's been a delight talking to you, Bob, because you're speaking so much that I concur with and obviously I see as good sense.
It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Folks, and I do recommend you go to Dr. Bob's website. The book that he's the author of is Are You Really Ready for College? And the website is areyoureallyreadyforcollege.com.
I should mention that the book is available only online through Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or go directly to my website.
And for school teachers and parents' associations, etc., there's a special deal available from what I can see on the website. Bob, you might as well tell them about that, because I think this is something that all high schools, this is the sort of book that should be in all high school libraries, you know.
More importantly, I'd like to see it used as a textbook in introductory high school courses. Many high schools give what they might call orientation courses or preparation courses to first-year high school students. And this is, I say rather immodestly, this is really a perfect textbook for those kinds of courses.
Now, you have in the larger high schools in America, you have counselors there that advise students, attempt to prep them up for going to college. So these are the guys who really should have this book as well.
I think so, because it gives them a format that's very clear, very precise, and they can go over these strategies with students, remind them of what they should be doing as students, and then suggesting what they can do to improve their talents and abilities as a student.
For the younger listeners and parents and students, and going over the material of the book, what I see, it as Bob says, it's a you-can-do-it book.
It's extremely practical. As I say, it's not to be read like a novel.
And nor is it an academic tome. Read it, do it, this is how-to book. So we've been listening to Dr. Bob Rubin. Dr. Bob was, for 25 years, was a dean of a college helping students. In fact, deans of colleges are the guys that all students go to with various problems. Faculty go to the dean in order to resolve student problems. So he's a key fellow who knows what it's like for students in their early years in college, the difficulties that they run into, and he has written this wonderful book that actually sets you up so you don't run into strife in your early years in college and you have a better chance of making it and saving your parents some money by actually getting it done in 4 years instead of seven or never. So, Bob, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
This has been really, really valuable information for our listeners, I know.
And I've been delighted talking with you.
Well, thank you, Bob. I know our listeners got a lot out of today's show. This has been The Learning Curve with Roger and Virginia. If you'd like to learn more about what we have been discussing here, please go to howtolearneasily.com, and also you can learn about the seven barriers to comprehension. Questions, of course, you send to us at questions@howtolearneasily.com. Next week, we've got the return of Linda Dobson discussing the Declaration of Educational Independence. This is quite a bit of a revelation. Linda actually rewrote, but what she did is adapted the U.S. Declaration of Independence slotting in the important issues of education as a specific, and also we get into a discussion of how the rejigging or the attempts to rejig during 2011, the No Child Left Behind legislation, and the impact that this could have on your child in a typical school. So be sure to tune in next week for the important information from Linda.